Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I say to you this morning that this is not an easy time for us personally, but it is a time that God has ordained us to live in the midst of. I think it was Katie that said, there's a couple on the radio, the Addisons. She said, we were what?
We were built for this.
We were built for this. She said, we were built for this. And I like that. This is our time under the sun. And it comes and it goes. Sun comes, sun goes, sun comes, sun goes. But God, well, He's always there. And He is our hope and our help. I want to direct your attention this morning, if I may, to the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. It is a passage of Scripture that for me, well, I go back to because in recent days we've had so many things that have been upended. I mean, we had the COVID thing and, you know, jobs and people and churches being kind of told to stand down. And it just seems like I've been holding on to the Lord with all I could. And when I do that, I always go back to this area of the Scriptures because it's where the turning points were in Israel's history. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and the first 39 chapters really deal with judgment and law. And that is kind of emblematic of the way the Bible is put together. 39 books in the Old Testament dealing with law, judgment, you know, and all of the things that had to do with that. And then in the 40th chapter, it's all about comfort from there to the end, to the last chapter, 66th chapter. Very interesting how it lays out, because that's exactly what happens when we get to the book of Matthew. And you have those 27 books laying out in front of you, telling you all about grace, telling you all about the good and the sweet. It is where Paul tells us in Corinthians that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. He's not talking about a 24-hour day. He's talking about the time in which you and I get to live. We live in the day of salvation. We're supposed to be telling other people about that salvation. And it's kind of tough sometimes, though, because we have so much else that absorbs our attention, whether it's in prosperity, and we're talking about the new things that are going on and the new things that are happening, and or whether it's in times like these where the politics begins to crowd out everything else. Very hard for us to keep our bearings because, well, things mean much to us and what we emotionally invest in tends to push its way to the fore. We've been poked, we've been prodded, we've been threatened by circumstances, not by people yet, but it will come to that, I believe. And I think you and I need to know our Bibles well enough to know where to go. As David did, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. For me, this is one of my passages, and we've spoken on it in not too distant past, but we're going to talk about it a little differently and upon it a little differently. Isaiah 40 is where all the comfort comes in. Grace begins to be pressed forward so that the people of God would not lose heart. And you know what's amazing? They didn't. They didn't lose heart. The people of God in the Jewish communities, even though they've kind of gone through a wood chipper through the centuries, really, since Christ came, they're still standing, and that's only because there's a residue of God's Spirit holding them together, and they have no clue, many of them, because they have a blindness in part happened to them because of judicial blinding, but God Himself has held them together, and as we sing, and I think it's in our song list here this morning, He will hold me fast, He holds them fast, even though they don't deserve it, even though we don't deserve it, He holds fast, doesn't He? Isn't that good to know? Aren't you glad? Because if He didn't hold us fast, where would we, well, where would we be, right? Because we know we would be off in the field somewhere wandering around. Well, the Bible starts in this chapter in verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And I say to you, as we look at this first couple of verses, when he says, comfort ye, the idea of warming the people of God, the idea of drawing near to them, is before us. When he talks about comforting, he's talking about actually sympathizing. Think about that. When you talk to a Jewish person, which I've had occasion to do, in fact, not too long ago, I had a parking attendant who was a Jewish man inside of a fairly large room where he was in there alone wearing a mask, and I began to talk to him, and I asked him a couple questions and ultimately got to give him a tract and ultimately got to give him not only a gospel tract, but a tract that was called The Witness, which has several testimonies of Jewish people who came to Jesus. He's in there all alone, 8 hours. You think he might have read that? I think he might have read that. Anyway, he was drinking some Propel, and I said, "Hey, you know you can get that cheaper? He's a Jew." I thought this would work, okay? And he was like, "Oh, wow, how can you get that cheaper?" And I said, "Well, they sell these little sticks of Propel." And I said, "I get those. You know, I get 10 for $2. I said, "It's like 20 cents a bottle or something like that." And I said, "You know," he's like, "Oh, wow, yeah, I have to check that out." And made nice. And then the next day, and I kept giving him stuff. And anyway, so it was really neat. But, you know, we need to empathize. We need to sympathize. It's really easy for us to say, "Hey, they went through the Red Sea," and they were crying out and saying, you know, "Hey, you know, where's this? And we need more. And what's going to happen now? We're going to die," you know. And yet we do that. Can you sympathize with them? I can. You know, I'm like, "Wah, call the ambulance." You know, why? Well, because I'm weak. And you know what's harder? It's when you have 1.5 million people all singing the same note. Is that happening in our country right now? Whole country singing, "Wah, we want it our way." Did you notice there weren't a whole lot of riots in the past few days? Oh, Portland, don't even count them. They've lost their minds out there. But I'm talking about, for the most part, there was not a lot of bricks thrown through windows because those who needed the wambulance were being consoled. But for the grace of God, there I would be. Right out there with them, but I see. I once was blind, say it, but now I see. I see. I do. I know what God's up to. Can I sympathize with people who are completely off the rails? I probably couldn't, except that I know some people I love that are off the rails. I know some people I love. And that breaks my heart. Because I've seen them when they were real little, and now they're grown up. You see them being caught up in this, right? And 1.5 million people are saying, "Give us something else." Metaphorically, the Israelites, but we can comfort, we can sympathize, for such is the concept. Be sorrowful with them and for them. Comfort ye my people. Let them know you understand. Let them know how much you understand it hurts to get all ramped up and to be beaten back in what you think and perceive to be an injustice. You know, we have celebrities, we have singers, we have politicians, we have friends and neighbors that have truly come to the place where they really believe that if this is not a stolen election, that it's exactly what should be happening. And if they understand that it is a stolen election, then they also feel like it was what had to be done. It's what they think. It's what they think. It's not about right and wrong anymore. I mean, if you can tell a person that a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy and it doesn't matter, and you can take them from their parents and give them all kinds of medicines and operations, there is no plumb line anymore. If they can believe that, they can believe anything. And it must needs to have happened in their estimation, perhaps. And when their faces blanch and they see what is happening, when it really does come down to what will be the natural consequence of this very occurrence that's going on in our country right now, they will be in terror, disbelief, and potentially damned because they didn't see it coming. This is not a new thing. It's just new for us. And I say to you that one of the first things that the socialistic kind of efforts that give way to a communistic, dictatorial kind of thing, one of the first things they do is they take the dupes out and shoot them because they were working for them, but now they can't be trusted because when they wake up and see, they will become the greatest enemies of the state ever. I'm sorry, but this is the world we're living in right now. And I feel bad for my neighbors and friends because I got a neighbor that I could think of right now comes right to my mind, and I think he's just doing what he's got to do because he's looking for a check. It's not about right and wrong. It's about, man, this guy's going to give me money. He's going to give me some more money. But the person that's going to give them money is taking it from somebody else, and the dots just don't connect in their minds. And what's going to happen in our country is going to be very, very difficult. But I can say this real quick. Grace is greater. And that's good to know. Comfort ye, my people. I could tell them at the last. I told you about my dad who passed away back in 2018. He had been standing in array against me all of my life, ever since I came to Jesus. He's always been uncomfortable with me in the room. But in his weakness, he was able to trust Jesus at the last. And the reason I'm more convinced that it happened is not just because he prayed, because you might expect somebody, but 3 days later, I came back to him again, having had to come back to Ohio and go back down to Florida. And when he saw me, the first thing he did was grab my hand and hold on to it tight. Showed me there was a connection, that there was a light in the darkness, even though he was unable to speak. And he was just nodding his head, yeah, I prayed, I prayed. You see, even at the last minute, people can be saved. Did you see our sign? I had Larry come in and change it. Larry's been a blessing to be able to help us like that. And he changes the sign. It's 1 Timothy 2:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Aren't you glad that's true? Wouldn't be here today if it weren't true. And I don't know where I'd be heading today if it weren't true. No, the Bible says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Cry unto her, not cry for her. Cry unto her. Why? Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. You understand what that just said? He's saying, remind her that her Savior has already taken care of her. You remember last week in Joel 3, we saw in the very last verse of Joel's 3-chapter book. In chapter 3, one of the last verses, it says that God is going to cleanse her blood, which He had not heretofore cleansed. How cool is that? Because He cleansed my blood. I had blood on my hands. I had led people astray. And Jesus cleansed the blood for me because I trusted Him to do so. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us. They don't know that. But they will. When chapter 40 for Israel comes. It's already come for us. We're already living in the day of salvation. We get to be the bride. Jesus dotes on you and me. Don't you know? Which is really kind of cool when you think about it. Because maybe we remember when we were dating and we thought our wives were the best thing since sliced bread and nothing else compared. But as you got older, or the husband, but you got older and then, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just so used to him being there. It's not that kind of bad thing. I'm not saying a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, you get used to your mate being there. But when your children go through something and you're hearing it on the phone or you're getting it on Facebook, oh, they had that, oh, you poor thing. They lost a job. They got beat down by something in life. Life threw them something. Your heart yearns. Do you know Jesus yearns for you? Do you know that? You're His bride. He really, really is for you. And I want to just cry out to you that your warfare has already been accomplished. Jesus conquered the devil at the cross. The Bible says that Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. To render them idle is what it means. Powerless in essence. He's still running around. He's still screaming at you. He's still saying, hey, look at this, look at that. Go here, do this, do that. And sometimes, yes, you and I may fall. But when we fall, the devil doesn't leave it alone. That's not enough for him. He comes around and accuses, and then he gets you to be in condemnation, and you don't get up and go. Listen, I'm telling you something. Your warfare is accomplished. Get up. Get up. Because you can. Because Jesus is the one who paid for that sin.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.